may be seated. You know, as long as my kids are little enough, I'm going to keep using them as examples on Sunday mornings. But I remember the other day, Veronica, in typical Veronica fashion, was whining that she was starving. And I knew better. I knew better because the girl just ate a yogurt and a cheese stick. There is absolutely no way she was starving. I knew what she meant, though. Don't you know what your kids mean when they come up to you and say, "Mom, Dad, I'm starving." Because I know what she actually wanted to say was, "Daddy, I'd like another snack, please." But instead of caving in and handing the girl a few goldfish or animal crackers, both her mama and me, we got on her case. We says, "You're not starving. People who are starving haven't eaten in days, and sometimes people who are starving, they get sick because they have nothing to eat." We both pounced on her like you wouldn't believe, and I guess we do that often enough because she let out a sigh and, "Okay, I'm not starving, I'm just hungry." Gonna chalk that one up to epic parenting right there. Our six-year-old, though, now knows there's a difference between starving and being hungry, and that she has lots of great food to choose from at home that sometimes other people don't have the ability for their kids to have access to have snacks like this or snacks at all. I always like to go back. There's one example that stood out from my childhood in a transition period in our family when Mom was going to school full-time and she was working at Bob Evans. She was serving tables at Bob Evans at night. Dad worked basically sun up to sundown. And one time at the grocery store, I wanted popsicles. What kid doesn't want popsicles? Well, at that time, we were living on a strict budget, and I remember she says, "Not this time, but maybe in the future." You know, all I heard was a loud, resounding no, but I know Mom loved us enough and tried to always be sure that we had something delicious to eat at home. But think, how many times have we not been able to put food on the table for a meal? Has that ever happened before? Have any of us been close to that at any time in our past? Just going back to when Romy and I first got married, how many of y'all have been saved by ramen? And I say saved in the loosest of terms, because that stuff shaves years off your life. When I was in the youth group back in Myrtle Beach growing up, we always would go to the food soup kitchen that was in Myrtle Beach. It was in an old storefront along the super block. It was not a very nice part of Myrtle Beach. And I remember it was a cramped shelter. They had the beds, bunk beds were shoved against the walls, and then they would pull the beds out at night, and that was where many of them stayed at nights. But we fed them dinner. And our youth group would go there, and it was just the simple fact of they could have gotten the food themselves, but to instead be served by the youth and by the others who went with us. To see and to witness this, to see people who couldn't put food on their plates, who couldn't supply for their families. And I'll never forget the woman who ran that program. Boy, did she have a stone exterior, because she put up with a lot and she watched over those who resided in that shelter. She was their pastor, but she had to be the parents for many people there. She guided them. She tried to help them get back on their own feet. And if that was in Myrtle Beach, you know, the beautiful tourist town that it is, how many people living here might be on the edge, so close to being out on the street. I don't know what it looked like here after everything crashed in 2008, but I'm pretty sure that foreclosures happened, didn't they? I'm sure people had to change their lifestyles to adjust for an adjusted income. There may have even been some students at the schools here that meal that they received at lunch and possibly breakfast may have been the only meals they got. I remember back home there were debates over the calorie count in the meals at lunch at school. Well, the argument to keep the calorie count high was the fact that this may be some of the only food the kids get. Serving up in the Catskills, New York is not immune to poverty. As we've preached before, we got to see it firsthand up there. People in the middle of winter whose homes heated by a small, simple wood stove, burning whatever they could get their hands on, some of them. But even here, we're a blessed people. We have Thanksgiving coming up. I'm so blessed I was able to go through Stop and Shop not just once, but twice, and I bought 2 turkeys. And I thought about that for a second. What about the people who can't even afford that, a 39 cent a pound bird? But this Thanksgiving is a time where we can not only be thankful for what we have, but also the fact that we're able to give and that we are able to respond, that we're able to be the kind of people who freely give back just as God freely gave Jesus the Son to us. Just down the road in Roslyn, there is a soup kitchen. There is an organization here on Long Island that helps address hunger and nutrition as well as temporary homelessness. It's the Interfaith Nutrition Network's The Inn. And I didn't realize this is in our own backyard. And there are 5 primary things that this organization does on Long Island. The Inn has soup kitchens. There's 10 of them. 10 different soup kitchens in 14 different locations across Long Island. No questions asked. You show up for a meal, they feed you. They offer emergency housing. 3 housing shelters, emergency housing shelters. 2 of them provide housing for homeless families, and then there's a separate one for men who are temporarily experiencing homelessness. And they're not just doing this on their own. They actually work with the Department of Social Services to find the appropriate housing and to desire to seek that goal of permanent housing for those who are in need. And then there's also long-term housing. They work with families who are in a state of homelessness and are able to find rent-controlled places. Not rent-controlled, but lower rent. Houses so they can make ends meet until they can gain their own self-sufficiency, their independence. And then there's the Center for Transformative Change that opened up in Hempstead. It's there to help those of the soup kitchen to improve their life circumstances and to become self-sufficient. It offers clothing. People can go there and they can get the types of clothes they need for a business interview so they can get a new job. I mean, think about it. When you go through your closet, do you usually donate your old suits? I don't know, last time we went through our closets, it wasn't a lot of very dressy clothes that we ended up passing on. And then there are other services that they do provide to those who are in the shelter. Besides the food, they offer counseling, case management, home management, education, tutoring for children and parents, as well as vocational training. This isn't just a free handout. This is an organization that is embracing the teachings of Christ as they not only just help one time, but they ensure that they try to teach and instruct. Something that we should be doing out in the streets of Fort Washington. Loving and caring and teaching and instructing all those about the message of Christ, about the prophet Isaiah, and the promise that in times of difficulties, God's there for us. We're not left abandoned. We're not left alone. And that is the good news of Thanksgiving, is that even if we're not with our families, the love of God is there surrounding us all. So as we prepare now for our second offering, this is going to benefit the Interfaith Nutrition Network's The Inn here at Roslyn. And now I invite Nancy and John forward to offer the gift of music as we respond with the love that God has shown each and every single one of us. Amen. Thanks be to God.